Now, since the pandemic began, we've gotten used to wearing masks, washing and sanitizing our hands a lot, avoiding large gatherings, social distancing, and taking other hygiene measures. But what's going to happen with those habits when the pandemic's over? A recent survey from The Ohio State University says most Americans are planning to keep at least some of them up. 72% say they'd be willing to continue wearing masks in public. 80% say avoiding large crowds. 90% say they'll frequently wash and sanitize their hands. This week, the CDC said more than 100 million doses of COVID-19 vaccines have been given to Americans. Nearly 34.5 million Americans, more than 11% of the population, are fully vaccinated. CDC says those who have been fully vaccinated for at least 2 weeks can safely visit indoors with unvaccinated members of a single household without the masks or social distancing. Good news for vaccinated grandparents. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are there hygiene habits you've picked up during the pandemic that you think, yeah, you might continue doing after the pandemic? Maybe wearing a mask during future flu seasons, for example. Shaking hands. Going to come back for you or no? And would you say the pandemic has made you maybe even a little germophobic or just cautious? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Dr. Eric Adkins is Vice Chair of Clinical Affairs in the Department of Emergency Medicine at The Ohio State University. He's also the Associate Chief Clinical Information Officer at Ohio State's Wexner Medical Center. Dr. Adkins, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Well, about a year ago, I was, like a lot of people, felt pretty weird about putting those masks on. It took a while to get up to speed on masking and all the sanitizing and the distancing, but it seems like most of it caught on for most of us. I don't know. What do you think it took to get us up to speed with COVID-era hygiene?
You know, it's crazy to think that we've been doing it for this long of a period of time, you know, being, you know, a year out and more. You know, I think a lot of the things that help to bring us to where we are is helping people just kind of understand how significant a disease this was and the importance of understanding that the mask helps to protect other people from you as an individual with spreading COVID to somebody else. And as that has kind of gotten a better understanding, I think it's led to better adoption and acceptance by members of the public.
Now, we're going to look a little bit at the post-pandemic era, which we are not in yet. I don't want to start doing victory laps just yet. Can you talk about the importance of keeping these things up as vaccines roll out, as news is looking mostly good, but we're worried, especially about these new variants of the virus that causes COVID-19?
Yeah, I think it's really important that people understand that this is definitely not over yet. And, you know, the news about vaccinations and kind of seeing the volumes of cases of COVID declining, it's great news, obviously, to see those things happening. But still, the masking and the distancing are going to be one of the most important factors that you can take on to continue to minimize the spread. We talked about some of the survey data. You know, it's about 2,000 people that filled this out all across the country. So they got a nice spread as far as, like, age and gender demographics. Those are, I think, important and telling statistics because people hopefully understand the seriousness of this, and they're going to continue to temporarily, at least, you know, avoid crowds. You know, about 3 out of 4 people have said that they'll continue to wear masks in public, and 9 out of 10, which I think this is an interesting thing, are going to continue to use hand washing and kind of hand sanitizer. And if you think about, you know, how much hand sanitizer did you have before COVID and what you have now, I don't know about you, Robert, but I had, you know, one in every jacket pocket, you know, that I wear, one in every car, plenty of stuff at home and my office at work. So it's definitely changed kind of the way we go about things, but it's an interesting time in our lives to be seeing the benefits of coming out of this experience and what we've learned about how to minimize the spread of disease.
Talking to Dr. Eric Adkins from The Ohio State University, looking at hygiene, the masks, the hand washing, and more during and hopefully as soon as possible after the pandemic. Dr. Adkins, I've seen some kind of less scientific surveys, but raising concerns that, some of us are going to come out of this feeling germophobic, that we might do some excessive behaviors over hand washing. You know, and early on we had the warnings, you know, don't use those hand sanitizing towels or those sanitizing towels on your hands, or don't bleach stuff that you're going to eat. Like, do you worry that some of us are going to come out of this, I don't know, with negative behaviors, taking it too far?
I mean, it's possible that that may happen. I hope that, you know, folks that have decided to be more attentive to things like some of the cleanliness and the risk of germs, you know, in all of their interest in that, have taken a little bit more time to understand how germs are really spread. And, you know, you don't need to develop an obsessive compulsive disorder around the amount of times that you kind of wash your hands. You do need to be attentive to how often do you touch your face. And if you happen to like touch your face more frequently, maybe than others, then you want to make sure you wash your hands more frequently than others. You know, things like that where, yeah, I wash a fair amount, but like when I go out to the grocery store, I'm not constantly washing, but I'm not touching my face when I'm in the grocery store with my mask on. So, but I know as soon as I come out, and that's one of the nice things, like there's hand sanitizer everywhere now. Pre-pandemic, that stuff really didn't exist. And I hope that that will keep up, and that businesses and companies will continue to offer those types of things to their customers, so that as you come in and out of their various business environments, that you can wash and kind of know that you're staying clean and not worrying about picking something up.
Let's go to our callers now at 800-642-1234. Jim is with us in Slinger. Jim, hi.
Hi, hello. Thanks for taking my call. Mine's a basic concern. Say the pandemic really kind of subsides after, say, October, and everybody starts taking their masks off. Haven't we just weakened our immune systems? And as far as soap, you know, I remember some years ago, everybody started using the antibacterial soap. And then a warning came out shortly after that and said, you need to back off on that, because your body has to have the antibodies for that. You can't just keep, you know, that's not a solution. Your body has to be able to fight that on its own. So what do you say to that?
Jim, thanks for the call. And first of all, with the antibacterial soap, Dr. Atkins, if I recall correctly, that was more a concern that we were evolving bacteria that were resistant to the ingredients in the soap. But do I have that about right?
Maybe. I think some of that's a little bit of, you know, maybe a marketing campaign or tactic with some of those companies, because hopefully, you know, all soaps are going to be antibacterial to a certain degree. You know, you don't want soaps that aren't going to be able to get the bacteria off your hands, you know, when you're going to be doing things. It would definitely be a problem if you still had germs and everything all over your hands after washing.
To his point about, you know, are we, and sometimes I think of this, the immune system is kind of like a muscle. And he's saying, in effect, we're not exercising it. When we go back to being exposed to stuff, we're going to be in a weaker or more vulnerable state. Is there anything to that, or does it not work that way?
I wouldn't consider it a weakened state. I would say, when you think about how in the example of the vaccine and how the vaccine's been developed, the vaccine helps kind of prime the body to tell it what it's looking for when it wants to mount an immune response against exposure to COVID. And, you know, we go so many months without masks on, and things like the common cold is still out there, but it's being shared a lot less frequently. Obviously, if your body's immune system hasn't seen the common cold in a while, your immune system isn't quite as primed and ready to go. And you might have maybe just a little bit more feeling of severe symptoms. Some of it may be just, you know, the fact that you haven't had the cold in a while. And, you know, you go every 3 to 4 months and you kind of pick up the sniffles here and there. But now it's been probably for some people, you know, at least a year before they've had things like that. And just the return of some of those symptoms reminds you of how unpleasant it is. And hopefully it'll be a positive reinforcement for just trying to have good hand hygiene and general practices. The caller did bring up, though, a really interesting point around masking. And I think that one of the things that we'll have to consider in the future is, what do we do when flu season picks back up? And do we get to a point of considering voluntary or just public health officials recommending things like mask season, knowing that as the flu activity might come back into session in the October, you know, timeframe, you might start wearing a mask when you start seeing flu activity in your region. We've seen almost no flu at this point this year, And a lot of that has to do with the practices that we've adopted around COVID.
We're talking about our pandemic era hygiene habits and what might stick around when the pandemic is over. Dr. Eric Adkins is our guest, Vice Chair of Clinical Affairs in the Department of Emergency Medicine at The Ohio State University. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have questions or thoughts about this? Would you consider, even after COVID-19, keeping those masks around, putting them on when you go out on a bus or other crowded place when flu season rolls around? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're looking at Americans' attitudes towards some of the health hygiene practices put in place during the pandemic and whether they'll stick around. Dr. Eric Adkins stays with us, Vice Chair of Clinical Affairs in the Department of Emergency Medicine at The Ohio State University, also Associate Chief Clinical Information Officer at Ohio State's Wexner Medical Center. You can join in with your thoughts and questions on the topic at 800-642-1234. Are there changes in your life that you think will be permanent? Keeping masks around, keeping more hand sanitizer, or doing more hand washing? Handshakes coming back or no? 800-642-1234. Rhonda joins us next in Hale's Corners. Rhonda, hello.
Hi. I would like to see food service workers, cooks, and food servers continue to wear masks even after the pandemic. I mean, you think they've been wearing hair restraints for years, and I just think, well, why not have a protection that a mask would provide when you're serving a lot of people food?
Rhonda, interesting point. Thanks for the call. Restaurant workers, food workers, or maybe people who work in crowded environments, Dr. Adkins, do you see a future for more masking?
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I think that concept lends to just the general overall hygiene and also probably the experience of the consumer that's going to be coming into those food service industries. It's a good feeling to know that the people that you trust to prepare your food are kind of having the most optimistic or ideal disease prevention tactics, and wearing not just the hairnets, but wearing the mask as well, I think is a great thing for businesses that are serving food products to consider to adopt. And it wouldn't surprise me if the public health officials strongly encourage that coming out of the pandemic.
Thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. I remember it was almost exactly a year ago when the pandemic was starting to be a thing. I was meeting somebody at an event. This was like the last event I went to, and we reached and shook hands. And this is a doctor, actually. And then we both paused with a look of horror and pulled back from that handshake. I don't know. In normal times, Dr. Adkins, do you think handshakes are going to come back?
You know, I hope so. And I think a lot of people, I've found a few people offering the fist bump. At one point, the medical literature, before COVID, actually proved that the fist bump was more sanitary compared to the handshake, of course. I actually had a really awkward feeling myself just the other day, and I had a really good connection with a patient that I was caring for. And as I was departing the room, the patient kind of looked up to me and extended their hand, and it was out of like this awkward reflex for just a second. I reached forward, I shook their hand, and I was kind of like, wow, this is just so different compared to where I've been for the last year. I was also willing to do that because, in the hospital, it's hard to walk anywhere from 6 to 10 feet without being able to access hand sanitizer. And there was actually one, two steps behind me as I just turned around. And I think with the availability of stuff like that, I was probably a little bit more willing to do it. And it's a lot easier, I think, to shake somebody's hand if the next step after the handshake is pulling out the hand sanitizer. But there are still other ways, I think, that people have adopted. Maybe your listeners may have friends or family where it's elbow. We've gone from the fist bump to the elbow bump, little things like that to help create the distance. But it would be nice to have some of those human touch and human connections come back over time.
Dr. Adkins, a couple of things I want to get to before we're out of time. I know people may have put off a lot of regular appointments, preventive appointments. Hopefully they're still going when they need urgent or emergency care. What would you say to people who have been holding off on the more run-of-the-mill preventive care over the last year?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a really tough year, and it's highlighted a lot of the importance of routine health that, people need to get, and things all the way from mental health to physical health. And I think if you're sitting at home and you're wondering, is it safe to be able to go to your primary care physician's office, or, you're feeling ill all of a sudden, is it safe to come to the emergency department, or a doctor has recommended something like a colonoscopy, or you've got joint pains and you're talking to a surgeon about maybe a hip replacement or a knee replacement, but you worry. I think it's important to understand the hospitals, they are a safe place. The emergency department is a safe place. The hospitals that we all have masking protocols now, so the staff are wearing masks. The patients, when they come in, they're wearing masks. A lot of places have some visitation policies where they're trying to reduce the extraneous numbers of people around, so just kind of reducing the burden of potential germs that you could be exposed to. And knowing that it's probably one of the safest places to minimize your risks of getting COVID in the hospitals. Generally we know almost everybody who has COVID. When you go to the grocery store or places out and about, you don't know anybody who has COVID. COVID's out there, but you just don't know who has it. And we put all these safety precautions in at the hospital. So I think it's safe. And if you've been staying home because you haven't felt well, please consider, coming back. And if you're having a day, like today or tomorrow, and things aren't going well and you think you need to be seen in an emergency department, we're here for you, and we want to help provide that kind of safety and reassurance so that you can continue to go about your day with the things that are important to you.
And in just our last 30 seconds, a lot of people eager to get vaccines right now. Surveys show some are hesitant. Just a half a minute, Dr. Atkins, what would you say to people who have concerns about the vaccine?
I'd say the vaccine is safe. I've received it. My family's received it. I continue to counsel patients on this and try to assure them I think that it's safe. It's a very personal decision, though. But if you're on the fence about it, take a second and try to get in touch with your primary care doctor or any type of healthcare personnel that you interact with or engage with, and talk to them about your concerns. It's not my job to convince you that you have to get the shot, but it is our job to help inform you about the benefits and the risks of it. And I think at this point, the benefits far, far outweigh the risks. And I promote the idea of everybody getting their vaccine as soon as possible.
Dr. Atkins, we'll leave it there. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
My pleasure, sir.
Dr. Eric Atkins is the Vice Chair for Clinical Affairs in the Department of Emergency Medicine at The Ohio State University and Associate Chief Clinical Information Officer at Ohio State's Wexner Medical Center. Talk to him about the pandemic and how it's changed our hygiene practices, maybe in the long run, even after COVID.